It is in the springtime of the year when kings go out to battle that David's life begins to change. David has always gone out with the army to fight the enemies of Israel, but this year he does not go out with the army. Doesn't say why that is. It may be that David is getting older and he's too tired to fight. It may be that he's getting weary of the battle, or maybe that he's just considered too valuable an asset now to be risked out there, that he might be captured. For whatever reason, David decides to stay in Jerusalem. David does not want to be in Jerusalem. David is bored. David is at loose ends. There's something stimulating about going to war. It's a matter of life and death, victory and defeat. It keeps your senses on edge. Going out to war is a matter of strength and skill and strategy. And there's a bond that soldiers share with each other that's like no other. So David is in Jerusalem. He's bored. He doesn't know what to do with his time. Seems like everything is unimportant. All the warriors are gone. So one morning he is out on the rooftop of his house, on the garden, looking out across the rooftops, and he sees a beautiful woman on another rooftop doing her morning bath. She's beautiful. And so he inquires about who this woman might be. And she finds out that her name is Bathsheba. She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of the warriors who is out at war in the field. So David's desire is aroused. He sees a conquest ahead of him, and he's willing to take a risk that he sees ahead of him. It's exciting. So he asks messengers to go to her and bring her to him. And how can she refuse? I mean, this is the king. You can't say no to the king. So she puts on all her finery and makes herself beautiful and comes to the king's house. She expects that there will be some kind of a dinner banquet or a public reception or something. But when she gets there, she finds that she is ushered into David's quarters. They're alone. And so she turns to go, but the door is closed already. And David makes his intentions clear. She tries to refuse. She appeals to his virtue. She struggles, but David is stronger and more powerful, and so he has his way. You know, it's a very old story. An imbalance of power, the temptation to misuse that power. He is king. He is the alpha male. He's the most powerful person in Israel. He's physically powerful. And she's a woman. She's alone. She's vulnerable. It's not just a Bible story, but this is a story everywhere. What man in similar circumstances wouldn't be tempted to do the same thing? So Bathsheba goes down to her house, her eyes are cast down, and a month later she sends a two-word message back to David. I'm pregnant. Well, David's first reaction is to cover it up. If he can just get Uriah to come home for some rest and relaxation and be with his wife, then when the baby is born, then maybe Uriah will think that it's his own baby. If he doesn't count the months too carefully. So David sends messengers to the battlefield to bring Uriah home, and he comes back and he reports to David. And David asks, well, how is the war going? Tell me all about the battle. And Uriah gives his report, and David says, now go down to your house and be with your wife, and here's a present to go with you. But Uriah doesn't go down to his house. Instead, he sleeps that night at the entrance to the king's house with the other servants of the king. Uriah is a soldier's soldier. He thinks about his mates out in the field. In the morning, King David hears about it and he calls Uriah and he says, "Why did you not go down to your house?" And Uriah says, "How could I go down to my house when Joab and all my comrades are out in the field sleeping on the ground?" Uriah can't help but think about his friends out in the battlefield still. He's so closely connected to them that he can't just walk away from them and pretend like everything is normal. It's kind of like a soldier coming back from Afghanistan and trying to make sense of life while his friends are still back in Afghanistan. So David takes the next step and he signs the death warrant for Uriah. He sends a message to Joab saying, "Put Uriah in the forefront of the battle and then draw back so that he will be killed." And he gives the message to Uriah to carry. And Uriah is loyal. He's obedient. He's a good soldier. He doesn't open the note. He carries his own death notice to Joab and hands it to him. Joab reads the notice and decides that his loyalty is to David and not to Uriah. Joab knows where his future lies. So he obeys, and 2 days later, Uriah is dead. Well, as usual, the cover-up is worse than the crime. Murder is now added to the charges of adultery and rape. The more powerful you are, it seems, the more privilege you assume. It's a matter of power. Well, I guess the King David of our time is Harvey Weinstein. That was a big jump, wasn't it? Harvey Weinstein is the alpha male, was the alpha male of Hollywood. He was a creep, but he was powerful in the industry. His word could make or break a corporate venture or a movie or a career. Beautiful young actress comes to Hollywood. She has a passion for acting. She works hard for years building up her resume. She gives up everything so that she can take small parts, and she builds up her reputation and her career. Comes to Harvey Weinstein's notice. And so he compliments her and he tells her, "Well, I can help you with your career. Why don't you come up and we'll have a dinner meeting?" So she comes to his building and she finds that the receptionist says he'll see you in his apartment. That sounds odd. She expected a business dinner where they would discuss matters of business. But she doesn't really have any choice at that point. She takes the elevator up, and when she gets up there, she finds that she's alone in the apartment with him. And like King David, he makes his intentions clear. And she finds out that he expects sexual favors. And it's not just one actress, but it's many. Harvey Weinstein does this as a pattern over years and years, and he gets away with it. Why? Because he has money and because he's powerful. It's male privilege that allows him to do it. When his case is publicized, social media lights up with millions of women saying, "Me too. It happened to me too." Not just in the sexual harassment is not just something that happens in the king's palace or in the movie mogul's penthouse, but it happens everywhere. Sometimes it's crass and manipulative, like Harvey Weinstein, and sometimes it's subtle, a suggestion, or an unwanted touch, or a comment. The Bible does not mince words about David's sin. It tells the story in all its rawness and its ugliness. David was a great king, a great warrior, a great hero, but he sinned. And the Bible does not mince words about that. There's no way around it. The Bible simply tells the truth. Well, the truth is that God created all people to be treated with dignity and respect, whether you are a man or a woman, whether you have power or whether you don't have power. Every human being deserves to be treated as a child of God, created in God's image. Amen.